I'm not even saying as a worker in a business that contributes a massive amount of effort and labor to an ongoing project that you should own the means of production. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you should get a bigger cut of the value of your labor, man. That's all I'm saying. It's not that crazy. Think about it. I call you up. I say, hey, man, what are you doing this Saturday? You say, nothing, man. I ain't got nothing going on. I say, cool. I'm going to make cookies for this new bake shop I'm opening. I'm going to make them all day Saturday. I'm going to make 1,000 cookies. Do you want to come help me? I'll give you $1 for every cookie that you make. And you show up to my house and you do half the work. You make, say, 500 cookies. So I give you $500, which sounds pretty good. I mean, one day's work, $500. That's not bad. But then you find out that I'm selling the cookies for $20 a piece. And mind you, you know what I had into it. Maybe $20, $30, $40 worth of baking supplies. You know, that's it. So I had a little bit more in it than you, but we did an equal amount of labor. But I'm making, off the 500 cookies that you made, that you got $500 for, you know, I'm making, what's 500 times fucking 20? I don't know. Fucking 10,000, I think. Think about that. I mean, really, like, that's essentially the markup that your boss is making off of you in most circumstances. I don't know why we're going down this route. I shouldn't be talking about that. Everybody's going to be, oh, here he goes, being a big fucking cringy doofus talking about, well, dude, I'm sorry that I have a real job and a big fat pair of hanging nuts, all right? And I feel a certain type of way when I get taken advantage of by a grown adult, okay? That's all. That's all. I don't even care if it's a food or a vegetable. It's not going anywhere near my ass.
Here's some jerky. Take a piece and pass it.
By the way, is there anyone on board who knows how to fly a plane?
Oh, it's not a goddamn dog. It's a fish that produces milk. Hello, my friends, and welcome back to the Obscure Curio. I am your host, Torrance Pickle Splitter, and I am joined, as always, by my fantastic producer, Roscoe. Today is Wednesday, October 4th, 2023, and you are listening to this month's free episode of the podcast. Remember, for full access to weekly episodes, early access to videos, and much more, you can go over to patreon.com/JordanEdmondson. That's patreon.com/JordanEdmondson, and pay as little as $1 a month for all of that. Link will be in the description. It is October. That means it's officially the month of Halloween. And I hope you all have a very full spleen, full of white blood cells, that is. Of course, it is the season of the witch. The spooking hour is upon us nigh. Alright, so we will obviously go over some of the top horror movies that I've been watching already early on this season. Some classic, some contemporary. I'll even let you in on some details in my personal life, what's been going on with me, upcoming projects and such. But first I figure, hey, let's take it nice and relaxed, nice and smooth. Start off with a little current events, something a little topical. Keep it fresh, you know what I mean? You probably don't, because I rarely do. So I figured I'd just pour over the few current news articles I have in front of me. We'd get that out of the way, you know what I mean? The news of the world, dumper on a doorstep. Girl, But first one I was reading right here, climate change, a silver lining to climate change. Archaeologists are searching through areas of melted ice for hidden artifacts. And I don't really think I have to read the whole article to you here for you to understand the gist of what's going on. But essentially, climate change, which, goddamn, if you're listening to this podcast, I'm assuming you know is real. You haven't been got to by the ops, okay? It's causing long frozen parts of the earth, permafrost, ice caps, shit like that, to go on melting. And then underneath that, we are finding previously unearthed artifacts from who knows how long ago. Now, there's theories out there that the earth is much older, that there's even been advanced civilization that have been lost to time due to catastrophes. I'm not here to comment on that. I'm just commenting on, I don't know. Okay, you guys are going to hear me vaping. I don't know if you guys listen to the paywalled episodes, but you're going to fucking hear me vaping. This is the new vibe of the show. Get used to it. So, essentially, what I'm trying to say is I don't know if it's a silver lining. I don't know how silver that lining really is. I mean, cool. It'll be cool to find out stuff about the past, but how ironic would it be that as soon as we find something truly interesting, maybe something monumental, groundbreaking, underneath that ice that suggests, oh, wow, there really was an advanced civilization and it was washed away due to some catastrophe. We're finding that out. We're doing the research. What could have caused this? Just as our best scientists, our best people are on it, that they're about to come deliver the news, hey, man, looks like it was some sort of man-made climate catastrophe that got them. Boom. Our climate catastrophizes. We're all fucked. You know, I don't want to be a pessimist here. I don't want to be a doomsayer. But it really seems like that's just the kind of shit that would happen. Life be funny that way sometimes. It's not funny if you're experiencing it, but looking from outside, whether from before or after, you can see the humor in it. But yeah, they're finding some things, mostly things that have been expected at this point. But you know, who knows? They might find something cool down there, dude, a UFO. They might tell us about, they're telling us about UFOs a little bit now. They might find some clay pottery or something, dude, some simple clay pottery. Who knows? Moving on. In other news, the Republicans had their second primary debate, and I, for one, was not impressed. I rarely am by any one of these fucking dirty scumbags in a suit that parade themselves up there begging for a job with which the salary is paid via our tax money, okay? I don't care for none of them. Never have, likely never will. That being said, not a one of them up there on that Republican debate stage said a goddamn word that I did not think was completely fucking stupid. It was terrible, and I know the fucking, I mean, there's probably not going to be. Do they have a debate if the fucking incumbent, he just gets the fucking nomination, right? I don't know how this shit works. I mean, I do, but my memory's a little bit withered tonight. All I'm saying is, you're not going to really have to watch that. We're supposed to be watching this to figure out who's going to run against Joe Brandon. And they don't have anybody. They don't have anybody on the bench. They fucked up, man. The Democrats might consistently run these establishment fucking ghouls that have been around forever, but at least they're maintaining an establishment. Now, unfortunately, that doesn't mean they're doing a good job. They suck. They're always on the defensive. They're never, like, winning the culture war, at least, like, in Washington, you know what I mean? And there is a culture war, buddy, to quote Alex Jones's crazy ass, there's a war on for your mind! Alright, it's happening. I'm not a fan. I'm a veteran. I've done 3 tours in the culture war. It's hell out there. okay? Telling people abortion should be mandatory. Telling them I'm going to fuck their dad. It's hard, dude. It's hard work. Somebody has to do it. I say all of that to say this. There's not a guy up there wowing anybody. I mean, you know they just want Trump. A lot of people acted like they wanted the pants shits. Ronald the pants shits, the freak. The man who clearly looks like he just got skin yesterday. Looks like he just ordered his first human skin in the mail. And put it on, and he didn't put it on properly. That's what that man, he looks like that. He acts like that. He's fucking constantly malfunctioning in the brain. He's the only one. I mean, you know, you got fucking Chris Christie's got some notoriety. Nobody gives a fuck. That ship sailed long ago. It actually sank because he was on it. And they had too much weight. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for that joke. You got the Indian fella. And I hope to God he's Indian, because that'll be racist if he's not. But I'm pretty sure he is, that raps the Eminem. Okay, who, by the way, I heard Eminem doesn't care for it. He's not a big fan, okay, of this guy using his music and then going up there and saying a bunch of stupid shit. But they've really, they're all saying the same stupid shit up there. There's really no debate. I don't really think you got many classic Republicans even left. Most of them are into this new crazy, they like saying woke all the time. That's basically their whole thing now, is woke this, woke that. They don't even, it's just a stupid fucking word. It doesn't mean anything to them. Woke is the new, you know, fucking, it's woke is Marxism, it's gay rights, it's fucking, you know, racial awareness, it's fucking anything that's not what they prefer to be going on right now, is woke-ism. And they put the ism on there. God help us all. They're not doing a good job. Eminem, speaking of Eminem, moving right along. I talked about the debates on the podcast last week on Patreon. They goddamn got Tupac's murderer, dude. Can you even actually... What is going on? This is a psyop, right? It's the ops again. It's them boys, okay? Why? Obviously, from what I understand, from what I've read, they've been knowing. They've been knowing who killed him, why he killed him, what happened. They knew all the fucking details. Why now? Why now? It's my same question with the UFO stuff, the UFO and alien stuff. Yeah, dude, obviously they've got it. But if they're telling us now, there's a reason, and it's probably not because they decided to be chill for once, okay? It's not because somebody pulled up on them and said, hey, dude, you're harshing everybody's vibes at the fucking function, dude. You need to chill out a little bit. That probably didn't fucking happen. All right? Same thing with this. They didn't all of a sudden, they didn't have somebody come up with Tupac's face on a fucking screen print fucking t-shirt or heat transfer t-shirt, you know what I mean, an iron on with some airbrush on there saying, hey, please, Mr. fucking whoever, fucking prosecutor, district attorney, bring his case back up, find the murderer of Tupac. Why? What are they doing out there? Obviously, I think he's still alive. He's living in Kettering, Ohio. He hangs out with Rob Dyrdek's family a lot. People been spotting him. He doesn't like the heat. So they're like, he's like, oh, dude, if you catch my murderer, then everybody will know for sure I was murdered because you're locking up the guy who murdered me. If you have evidence that he's the guy that done it, then that means it was done, which means he is dead. So that's what's going on there. That's for sure. That's for sure. Speaking of the ops, why do they want me to care about Taylor Swift and fucking football so much? No idea, man. I don't know what's going on out there, but I'm not here for it. And nothing against Taylor Swift, nothing against this fella in the football that she's dating around right now. They just, if some people are mad about it, I don't know what everybody's feelings are on it, but it's just, it's one of those stories that you're like, I'm not a big, obviously, the entirety of media and entertainment is a distraction. That's what it is. Entertainment is inherently distracting. It's meant to take up your fucking time, and you sit still there and you're entertained and you watch something. Media is the same fucking way, whether it's news media, what have you. Okay, so I'm not the guy that routinely says, oh, well, this story's just a distraction. I wonder what's really going on. Because, I mean, I think we all fucking get it. If you're saying that kind of shit, you're like the guy that's like, hey, man, you know, here's a fun fact for you. You probably didn't know this. But Iceland, actually very green, dude. But here's the kicker. Greenland, frozen fucking solid, dude. I don't want to sound like that guy. But when these particular stories come up, I felt the same way during that whole Johnny Depp, Amanda Heard trial. I'm just like, this is obviously not news to anybody. They're trying to make us care about this thing. And obviously, Taylor's got fans. I'm sure this football guy's got fans. They're always going to care about. But dude, your average fucking cocksucker, your average fucking 41-year-old guy walking in work, I shouldn't hear these guys saying, God, I wish they just fucking show the goddamn game. They always panning up there to fucking Taylor Swift liberal ass. And I'm like, how is Taylor Swift liberal? First of all, I don't know if she is. She might be. But why do you know that if she is? And secondly, shut the fuck up. Just shut the fuck up. Watch the game. The game's already a distraction. That's not even... When you hear people do the whole blah, 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 bread and circuses. First of all, yes. Second of all, I don't get why we're emulating the Roman Empire if that's what we're indeed doing. Because, like, I hate to tell you, they failed. The Roman Empire fell, dude. It sucked, and it wasn't because they did this, they did that. It's because it was destined to fail because they were doing too much. If you're running around being a cocksucker, taking people's shit, eventually, karma's going to catch up to you. They had a good run. They stole a bunch of Greek ideas. They fucked a bunch of little boys. They really got the Catholic Church going so that boy fucking could continue on for centuries, little boy fucking. So good on them, dude, I guess. I mean, the Holy Roman Empire, I'm sure some of you have seen that fucking trend going around. Ask your boyfriend, ask a guy... if he ever thinks about the Roman Empire. It's like, no, dude, because I'm not gay. No offense, but why the fuck would I be thinking about big centurion soldiers fucking little 14-year-old boys all the time? Because that's what most of their day consisted of. Here's your average year for a Roman fucking soldier, dude. They spent the entirety of the winter months and about probably 3 weeks... late fall, 3 weeks early spring, fucking the dog shit out of young men and little boys. I hate to tell you, that's what they did. And then when it was warm, they went out into battle and they raped other people's children. I know, oh, they didn't do that, but they let people self-govern. Yeah, dude, but here's the thing. It's the implication is there. They did it enough times to where people are like, oh, if we don't comply, it's any empire. I'm not just fully shitting on the Romans on this, but I do want to emphasize that they were big-time pedophiles, and that's probably really where the influence in Catholicism to carry on that tradition came from. But yeah, they sucked. They stole a bunch of Greek ideas. They didn't really, you know, their whole mythological system, their whole religious, spiritual system, you know, they weren't, what did they get? I mean, people were like, oh, they're Rhodes. Incas were all, they did roads separately, never met a Roman. Irrigation. They had irrigation in Latin American civilizations and, you know, Asian civilizations as well. So those two big things, you know, we would have got anyway. I know they loved shitting. The Romans loved shitting in the streets for a good many years before they figured out the first, like, modern... They used to just have shitholes, you know. You'd go and there'd be a big pool where you could bathe, and then there'd be a big fucking bunch of big long bench with a trough under it, dude, that you would shit in, you and all your buddies. Yeah, dude, I pretty much only thought about the Roman Empire recently because I've been forced to by the internet, and I came up with the conclusion that they suck. So, yeah, that's that. They're trying to get Romans, it's not that they ever had a fall from grace. I think Roman Empire's always been pretty popular. But Catholicism, speaking of, they're really trying to give right-wingers mostly, not just right-wingers, but like Nazis and other weird freaks, like, you know, adjacent. For whatever reason, man, they're really harping on bringing Catholicism back, getting it a redemption. There's even some, like, non-political figures and people that are somewhere on, you know, to the left of center a little bit that are like, yeah, dude, I'm Catholic, or I actually think Catholicism's cool again as an adult, and like, dude, I'll give them this. They got great aesthetics. They got cool rituals. Guess what? They stole it all from various pagan religions, rituals, and all of that shit. It's all magic, dude. The idea of the Eucharist, the fucking incense, the fucking speaking in Latin. It's just fucking witchcraft, dude. All right. I also think that they're worshiping the actual devil in the Vatican, dude. I think they are. They ain't getting a redemption arc out of me, dude. Quit fucking kids. At least lock up all the priests that fucked kids. God would want them locked up, dude. Trust me. Trust me. I fucking checked. He's not cool with fucking kids, man. I'm gonna go ahead and tell you that. Moving on. Looks like we got a super El Nino wetter weather pattern rolling on through this winter. That means some areas, all right, are going to have a really brutal winter, and others are going to have a mild but very dry winter. Dry, arid winter. I think we're right on the border of an area that's like hella snow and super arid and dry. So, we usually get a mix. Every season we get a mix. Pretty mild winters the last few years. The last really rough winter I remember must have been, had to have been 2018, 2019. Yeah. No, yeah, 2019. I can't remember. When did the pandemic happen? That was 2020, right? Yeah, that was 2020. So it must have been 2018. Time's weird. Right, that year where I live, the polar vortex ripped through, had some really cold days, got some snow. Aside from that, winter's been mostly mild. No winter is truly mild to me because I get cold really easily. But, you know, a lot more bearable. Chief in the vape, dude. But again, quit cigarettes. Let's see. Quit back in February, so that's March, April, May, June, July, August, September, okay, 8 months. 8 months. I technically quit almost a year ago, started trying to quit, but I did a little wean down, got myself off of them onto the vape. And so it's been 8 months since I've hit a cigarette. I know the vape's still bad for you, but I do feel better. I can get a lot more cardio in. I fucking skate all the time now. It used to be hard to do a 20-30 minute session without getting out of breath. I'll fucking rip around this whole goddamn city, dude. I'm young again. I'm young at heart. Speaking of, I'm just gonna bust through a couple more of these fucking stories. I ain't gonna go through all of them, and we'll just we'll let it flow. We'll let the podcast flow. We're 20 minutes in. I've been keeping these about an hour, so we'll see what happens. Last one went a little bit over. Don't want to run that habit. I am recording this at night. I get off at like 1:30 in the morning, so I started this a little after 2. So, you know, gotta get to bed at some point. Anyhow, dude, speaking of staying young, got this cocksucker, dude, Brian Johnson. He's one of these millionaire jerk-offs who does every fucking thing under the sun to try to stay young. And here's the thing. Once they actually figure it out, once they really figure out anti-aging, it's going to be fucking only rich people that can afford it, for sure. They're going to be the front lines. They're going to be telling us all about it and how you can do it too for only $1 billion fucking dollars. But you can tell this shit doesn't work too, because look at old rich people. Look at the old, really, really rich people. They're still getting old. They're still getting liver spots. They're getting all this shit. So obviously, like, drinking baby blood, if they're doing that, one of two things. It has no effect at all, or B, they're not doing that at all. Because I like to imagine that if you did drink baby blood, it would do something cool. But I just don't think they're doing it. That being said, this cat, Ryan Johnson, you've probably seen him all over the fucking place, dude. I've seen TikToks and reels and videos and articles. But essentially, he's, like I said, one of these millionaires, made his money in tech. He's got a shit ton of money. And he's really big on, like, trying to stay youthful. Now, let me tell you this, dude, and I really want you to understand when I say this. This guy is, he's 47, which I guess if you are going to fuck with the anti-aging shit, it is good to start young, okay? Because it seems like it would be easier to maintain a age appearance than it would be to try to reverse it. So maybe he's maintaining. I don't know how long he's been doing this for, but maybe he will maintain. But he's 47, and he looks fucking 47, dude. He does not look a day under 46 and a half, that's for sure. So when I look at it, I'm like, sure, the dude's, like, reasonably healthy. He looks like he's, like, pretty lean. I do think, if I'm not mistaken, it is healthy to have, like, going below, like, 1% or, like, 1%, 2%, whatever it is, like, a very small amount of body fat is unhealthy, because, like, there are parts of your body, including your brain, that, like, are made of fat and continue to reuse fat if parts of them begin to deteriorate. But, you know, he's pretty lean, in good shape, you know what I mean? But that being said, he doesn't appear to be any younger than 47. I know the dude takes like 111 pills every fucking day. Crazy diet, all this workout shit. And I guess I gotta give him some more time. But to me, it's just like, I've seen this a million times before. There's always like some old guy, some old person that has this routine they swear by that keeps them young. But, you know, I'm sure genetics have a little bit to do with how much you age. I'm sure environment does. I mean, you look at people who grow up, live their lives in like a smog-heavy place, or people that like worked in coal mines, and their skin physically ages quicker. Or people who spend a lot of time in the sun. There's definitely like, there's environmental factors, there's genetic factors, there and diet and all that. For sure, I just got crazy deja vu. Even as I say those words, deja vu, it's triggering more of that sensation. So yeah, man, that's weird. That was fucking weird. Looping back around before I lose my shit, we'll just move on to another story. We're just gonna move on. What else happened, man, in recent news? I really don't watch the news anymore. I looked this shit up, jotted down some stories, read a couple articles, just to put a fucking news segment in this, because I haven't really been talking news in the other episodes. Only other shit I can really think of that happened, they were saying the government was gonna shut down, like they do, I feel like twice a year at this point. I feel like 2007, 8, sometime when I started hearing news in my life, I started hearing government shut down this. I remember it shutting down before, maybe once, maybe twice in my lifetime. But it's always this fucking tactic, one of the fucking sides, like, oh, we're not going to pass this fucking budget to pay the entirety of the government. And I'm pretty sure they still get paid. It's everybody else. My buddy in the military was like, yeah, we're going to still have to come to work and not get paid during the fucking shutdown because the whole budget freezes. I feel like they should pass it more than once a quarter. I'm sure there's a reason they don't, but fuck those idiots. Fuck those idiots. I hate them. That's an op. The government shutdown thing is an op for sure. But it was averted. Of course it was averted. They are perverted. The writer's strike ended. That's good news. It seems like they got most of their demands met. You know, they can't use the shit out of AI unreasonably. They can't steal people's ideas. They're going to get paid a little bit more. I think they're getting better royalty deals. It's really one of those things, man, where, like, it's one of the only, like, really visible unions that you get to see out there all the time. I mean, in modern years, obviously, you got, like, the Starbucks union, the Amazon union, and, like, the UAW's always been reasonably big. But, like, in the news, like, big shit happening. This is twice in my lifetime in, like, 10, 15 years that the writers have gone on strike, and they're out there picketing, and they make their demands, like, very public. And it's reasonable. And then you find out that some of these actors and writers who have been on shit, who you would like either recognize their face or recognize their work, if not know them by name, aren't really making. They're making as much as you or I, or a teacher, or a fucking, you know, whatever, factory worker, this, and this. They're making a pretty modest fucking salary while their ideas and their characters and their work and their art makes executives obscene, ludicrous amounts of money. And so you can look at those demands and be like, yeah, I can understand why they're making these demands, and I think they should get them. Most people are reasonable like that. The only really complaints you have is some people like, oh, they're babies, they're rich babies. And it's like, well, you got to understand the richest of them. The big name actors and shit that are rich are out there in solidarity, and they're in the union, and they got taken care of by that union when they were younger, before they broke big. Okay. But more than that, yeah, a lot of these people, like I said, they're making as much money as you and I. The only other complaint is like, oh, we're not going to get good TV and movies made, which would have been true. I'm sure those of you that remember the whatever it was, 2007, 2008 strike, remember what happened to television in those times. Television's already bad now, but that's going to include Netflix. It's affecting internet shows and podcasts. You'd be surprised how much shows use union writing and acting and all of that shit. So I say all that to loop around to the fact that everybody should be in a union. Look how it works for these people. And look at the demands they're making, and understand why you think they're reasonable, and then remember that you, too, are selling your labor for a modest amount, while some executive makes obscene, ludicrous amounts of money off that effort. And you should be entitled to just a little bit bigger cut. Look, dude, I'm not saying, look, it's not that I wouldn't say this, or I haven't said this, and I won't say it again, but right now, I'm not even saying, as a worker in a business that contributes a massive amount of effort and labor to an ongoing project, that you should own the means of production. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you should get a bigger cut of the value of your labor, man. That's all I'm saying. It's not that crazy. Think about it. I call you up. I say, hey, man, what are you doing this Saturday? You say, nothing, man. I ain't got nothing going on. I say, cool. I'm going to make cookies for this new bake shop I'm opening. I'm going to make them all day Saturday. I'm going to make 1,000 cookies. Do you want to come help me? I'll give you $1 for every cookie that you make. And you show up to my house and you do half the work. You make, say, 500 cookies. So I give you $500, which sounds pretty good. I mean, one day's work, $500. That's not bad. But then you find out that I'm selling the cookies for $20 a piece. And mind you, you know what I had into it. Maybe $20, $30, $40 worth of baking supplies. You know, that's it. So I had a little bit more in it than you, but we did an equal amount of labor. But I'm making off the 500 cookies that you made, that you got $500 for. You know, I'm making, what's 500 times fucking 20? I don't know. Fucking 10,000, I think. Think about that. I mean, really, like, that's essentially the markup that your boss is making off of you in most circumstances. I don't know why we're going down this route. I shouldn't be talking about that. Everybody's going to be, oh, here he goes, being a big fucking cringy doofus talking about, well, dude, I'm sorry that I have a real job and a big fat pair of hanging nuts, all right? And I feel a certain type of way when I get taken advantage of by a grown adult, okay? That's all. That's all. Moving right on along, before we get into the movies, the Halloween movies, because it is Halloween season and we're closing in on the second half of the podcast here, let me tell you what I have watched a lot of as well. Stand-up specials. A bunch just came out recently. And I'll say this. Comedy's oversaturated with crap, dude. There's a lot of really, really bad comedy out there. A lot of dog shit comedy. Some of it, not a lot, but a surprising amount sprinkled among the most successful people doing comedy. And I think we've seen this in all arenas. It happens in music and movies and everything. Sometimes people who aren't that good somehow get very, very successful. Art is subjective. Some people like it. Who cares? But there's a lot of good shit out there. Okay, obviously, if any of you watch comedy, stand-up comedy, or podcast at all, I assume podcasters, like a good third of them, are all into comedy because there's a shitload of comedy podcasts, a lot of popular ones. Then you got people who listen to other shows that also happen to be into comedy. And then you got people who listen to other types of shows that aren't into it. I think those are your thirds. But I'm assuming you are. Shane Gillis dropped his first, you know, I don't know, official whatever, sponsored special. He's done one on YouTube before. Like I said, pretty good stuff. I didn't really follow, you know, I'm like most people. I didn't hear of him till the SNL stuff happened. If you're not familiar, I'm not going to tell you about it. Pause it and go look it up. And shortly after, before he really blew up like and went on Rogan and all that shit, I randomly heard him on an episode of a podcast formerly known as Cumtown, which has been reincarnated as a show called The Adam Friedland Show. Still pretty funny. Not as good as it used to be. But anyway, he was a guest on there. Reasonably funny. But, you know, I watched his YouTube special last year. That was really good. Started listening to his podcast. You know, it's pretty funny. He's a funny guy. I'm not going to give you a full review because I'm just going to name a few specials I watched that I think are worth watching. But I'll say he came out of the gate strong. Pretty good. Enjoyed it. Mark Norman had one out, also on Netflix, I believe. And Soup to Nuts. It was very good. Very good. Surprisingly, I won't say surprisingly, Norman I have followed for a while, since about 2018. Like him pretty good. Great joke writer. Real classic comedian's comedian. But yeah, this one was probably his best work yet, you know. It was pretty good. A lot of people, and I would have said this in the past, if you like Seinfeld-style humor, you'd like him. He's not very Seinfeld-y anymore. He used to have a sort of a, not the same style of comedy, but a similar cadence. But not so much anymore. But if you just like classic New York comedy, he's not from New York, but he lives there. His shit's good. Most of the comedy that I enjoy is New York. I don't buy into this whole in rap or comedy, East Coast, West Coast rivalry. I just don't believe in that sort of thing. But a lot of my favorites are from out there. Watched another one via YouTube. Joe List, who's on a podcast with Mark Norman called Tuesdays with Stories. His was very good. Enough for Everyone, I think was the name. It's on YouTube. I think he might even have put it on Twitter or somewhere else because there was like a YouTube strike for some reason. Definitely worth watching. Had only ever heard him in podcast. Hadn't watched, you know, regrettably, any of his stand-up, though I'd heard him lauded many a times. But watched his new special, fantastic, liked it so much, I went back and watched the special he released last year. also very good. Who else? I watched Colm Terrell, I believe is his name. Irish fella. It was one of those Gas Digital fucking Legion of Skanks folks released a handful of like 30-minute specials through them. Didn't care for... I've watched all of them. His was the best one. The chick Jordan Jensen was probably the second best. I watched Luis Gomez's. It was okay. Didn't care for it. I made it through about half of Dave Smith's. I really tried because I just have never liked the dude's comedy, any of what I've heard of it, mostly on other podcasts. But like, you know, I've seen him around. I've heard some of his shit. Never been a huge fan. Tried to give it a chance. But it's just that really cocky brand. He reminds me a lot of, what the fuck was his name? Dennis, maybe? Not Dennis Leary. What the fuck was that comedian that used to do Weekend Update, man? What was his name, Rod? Dennis Miller, that's right. It's a very, like, self-assured, and I find this with a lot of comedy that's explicitly conservative. There's plenty of conservative comedians that are funny, but when their comedy is explicitly conservative, I find that it's a little bit pretentious. It's got this air of arrogance to it, and usually just being dead wrong about shit. And that's how I found his. I try to give comedians second and third chances, because, like, big fan of Theo Vaughn. Didn't care for him the first. I'd heard him on like one or two podcasts. I'd seen a bunch of clips originally, and I was like not a fan. It's when he was on a show with fucking Brennan fucking Schaub and Brian Callen, Chris D'Elia, all these like jerk offs who like are just hardcore unfunny people. And it turns out they were just bringing him down. Because I ended up catching him later on, and, you know, found that he was fantastic. So I try to give people some second and third chances. I feel like there was, you know, like I said, I watched all those Gas Digital ones, liked two of them. I feel like there was another stand-up special I watched recently. It's not coming to me. If I think about it, we'll loop back around to it. I'll tell you real quick, middle of the episode, run through the personal details. We'll talk some movies. I'll give you this first. Went to the Mars Volta show last Friday. It was sick. It was sick. Saw him in Louisville. Great venue. Old Forester Paris Town Hall. It was sick. Great show. Terry Genderbender opened up. They were fucking sick. I had a great time. Mars Volta Live, dude. I knew their live show would be good. I mean, I've followed them for a long time, since like 2002 or 3. Since the Mars Volta came out, I've been following them. I was an At the Drive-In fan before that. At the Drive-In's like one of my favorite bands. They were doing the 20th anniversary. Yeah, that would have been 2003, of D-Loused in the Comatorium. Fantastic album. They played every song off of it and a couple other songs off other albums. Just a great show, man. Excellent live performers. We did hang around afterward to try to get an autograph, like we usually do. Had two different security guards come out and tell us, like, hey, you know, they do come out and sign autographs usually, but they explicitly told us to let y'all know they've like rented the green room till like 4 a.m. because they're celebrating somebody's birthday. There was like 6 of us out there waiting. Second time they came out and told us, we were like, okay, maybe he's serious. Looked it up. Turns out it was the band's keyboard player's birthday. So they were partying all night in the venue. Weren't coming out, but still a great show. Left there, okay, that night. I was with another two friends of mine. It was me and my wife and two friends of ours that are husband and wife. Went to eat at the Waffle House afterwards. And you guys aren't going to believe who the fuck I fucking met in there, dude. I don't know if you guys are familiar with a little hit show on A&E called 60 Days In, but I met one of their hottest characters, I believe, from season 1 or 2, named DeAndre. Okay, he's a big, I believe, light-skinned black fella, or he's a very oddly gray-colored white guy who has black features. And he's also bald. Very little eyebrows. He kind of looks like a mix of a lot of different people. But either way, I'll give you the premise of the show, if you haven't seen it. They take a bunch of random people and stick them in a jail undercover. Basically, they go in the jail. They filmed it in Clark County, Indiana, Clarksville, which is an hour away. It's on the other side of Louisville. It was about 15 minutes away from this fucking Waffle House we stopped at. So they filmed it in, they go in there in Clark County Detention Center, and they tell all the inmates, hey, we're doing a documentary. We're going to put some cameras up in here, and we're going to interview, you know, some select inmates from time to time. And they start the show up, and then they slowly, in groups of real inmates, bring in these plants. But they're not in there. They're not all in there. None of them are in there in an official capacity. They're not in there to, like, solve any crimes or get any information, like, officially for the police or anything. They're all in there for their own reason. Some of them are in there all gung-ho, like, there's a lot of drugs getting in this facility, and I'm going to tell the COs how they're getting in. Some of them are like, you know, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to see if any of these inmates know anything about this crime. Some of them are like, oh, my brother was in jail and, you know, he died and I want to see what it was like. I used to be a CO. I want to see the other side. All these personal reasons. And it's crazy. People get in fights all the time. I mean, it's very much, you can tell it's not a staged show other than the staging of, like, putting fake inmates in there. But it's very much the experience of county jail, which is, like, tons of fights, people playing cards, dumbass drama. It's crazy. I believe season one or two, there was this character. He was not one of the plants. He was an actual inmate named DeAndre. And he was, like, running shit. And then I think he got into a fight or something. That's the show. We was in the Waffle House. And he comes in there out of nowhere. There's, like, a bunch of women working. And he walks in. He's like, hey, everybody, you know, good morning. I'm here to fucking cover so-and-so. And he had obviously not been in that Waffle House before. So this one broad's like, I know you from somewhere, dude. I think I'm friends with you on Facebook. He's like, nah, you don't know me. You don't know me. She's like, nah, I do. Let me find out. So I think something sketchy's going on. Like, maybe he ratted on somebody because he's being weird about being, you know, recognized. So I get a good look at him. I hadn't really looked at him hard this time. I go look at him and it hit me immediately. I'm like, yo, this motherfucker's familiar. And I don't know why, I just kind of immediately remembered that I saw him on 60 Days In. Looked it up to be sure it was him. Then the chick who said she might know him came out and she's like, I know where I know you from. Said it, told everybody in the restaurant, hey, y'all seen 60 Days In? This motherfucker was on 60 Days In. Y'all seen 60 Days In? He was on that fucking show. Crazy. Not that exciting. Just a random inmate from an A&E reality show. But it was what it was. That's basically all that's been going on with me. Other than that, my PC took a shit. So I've been trying to, I'm having to, like, do this workaround to record the episodes and post them. So I haven't been keeping up with them as much. I was ready to, you know, start piecing together writing this new, got the outline written, but actually writing this new video for the YouTube channel, youtube.com/seeforyourself. If you don't know, now you do. But my computer took a shit. Ordered a new one. I've been meaning to get a new PC for years, dude. Since I got this one. It's done some work. It's really done some work. It's basically just an office PC with a little extra RAM and a big old hard drive in it. But a crappy, like, integrated graphics card. Every video, every podcast, everything I've ever done has been done off this bad boy, which I got for free. My buddy works with computers. He basically took it out of the trash at his job. But ordered a new one. That'll be in this week. Gonna get it set up. Start working on that new video. I don't know if I'm gonna post it on the Obscure Curio YouTube channel, the See For Yourself YouTube channel, or start a completely different channel. But I've got a concept for a good series of YouTube shorts that are like comedy related. They're not all going to follow the premise that I'm going to start with, but you know, it's a premise of which I could probably make at least 50 videos. And those of you that are familiar with the old original episodes of the podcast will recognize the premise in the ad reads for those very episodes. So, you know, I'm also trying to figure out a new type of content or something I could offer on the Patreon to maybe entice some more people over there. Again, you're listening to the free episode. If you do want all the weekly episodes, your name in the credits of my videos, early access to the videos, Discord access, and much more, you can subscribe for just a dollar at patreon.com/JordanAndEdmondson. Either way, even if you don't, I'm going to have some content on there. Previews and different shit will be made available for free. Working on all that. My car is also, not that it's on its last leg, but it's a pretty old car. It's turned 20 years old this year. Pretty beat up, about 240,000 miles on it. Good beast. But I've been looking at a truck. Trucks are expensive. Very fucking expensive. Financing through a car lot of any kind is expensive. Doing payments and all that shit. They offered me, you know, immediate financing through the lot I went to. But in addition to wanting 20% of the vehicle's value as a down payment, my payments were going to be like $600 a month because the fucking lot that has the truck I want, they want you to, they're all their fucking terms are 26 months. They don't do any long-term financing. And when you're paying on a fucking expensive vehicle, unless you're buying something that's like, you know, 10 grand or less, you're going to have a fat-ass payment. But, you know, we're just going to take a regular loan out through the bank, and interest rates are lower for some reason and all that shit. Hopefully that works out. Planning a trip, planning an anniversary, one-year anniversary. I've been a married dude for a year, which is pretty insane. It's pretty cool. It's honestly, I love it. Our relationship has only gotten better since we've gotten married. I feel like we have a good, solid, healthy relationship. I get on with my wife very well. We have a good thing going. I'm not a traditionalist, but if you have the desire in your heart to one day get married, find you someone real good and then enjoy. I think there's something cool. I mean, even if we didn't get married, we would have still had the same situation. We would be two people in a monogamous relationship, living together for what we're presuming to be the rest of our lives. And there's something special in that, ladies and gentlemen. We're really digging into time here. But, you know, we'll go over an hour. It's 3 a.m. I definitely want to... It's 3:07. I want to be wrapped up by 3:20. You guys don't have to listen to all of it. I don't even have to talk about the movies. That's just something... I figured it was Halloween. I've been watching a lot of movies. We'll get to it. But, yeah, so fuck it. We'll go a little bit long. This is the free episode. All right? The anniversary, first year anniversary, want to do something special. We didn't do a honeymoon because we did such like a big, lavish wedding. And we also bought a house literally the same month we got married. So, and then we were going to try to do one at the 1 year mark. And we do kind of, I mean, we could take a trip if we wanted, as far as like, you know, being able to technically afford it and technically having vacation time we could use and all that shit. But we are going to hold off because we're planning a very specific trip. That, you know, is like a romantic thing for us, and we want it to be done right, and we already didn't do the initial honeymoon, so just waiting a little bit longer, no big deal. We are planning a trip to go see my good friend David out in California sometime around the first of the year, which will be pretty sick. I've never been out there. We're not really vacationing out there. Obviously, it's the winter. It'll still be warmer than it is where I'm at, but we're just going to visit him. We're going to spend like 4 or 5 days out there, stay with him. He skates. It's San Diego, fucking shitload of skate parks. So we're going to go there, hit some spots he hits, check out some OG skate shops. Might hit up a friend that's in LA and see if she wants to meet up with us for dinner one night. Yeah, just basically going to vibe out. Not really, don't have any kind of sightseeing in mind or anything specific like that. Just going to chill with my buddy. Cheapest time of the year to fly, January. It's like fucking, for January through December, it just gets more and more expensive, with the exception of like a drop off around this time of the year, September, October. But right there, going into November, they're, you know, and it doesn't drop all the way down. I'll tell you this right now. You can get, if you just go Travelocity, get the cheapest flight you can, you could fly round trip from this part of the country, Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, all the way to the West Coast and back, round trip, for like less than $200 in January. That goes up by about $100 a month till you get to May. Okay, so January is 100 and I think 90. February is 290. March 3, April 4, May 5. Then June, July, and August, tickets could float anywhere between $500 and $1,000 round trip for just basic economy, cheap. Hot time of the year, drops down a little bit, holidays. Don't know why I'm telling you. I'm sure y'all fly more than I do, but I've been researching the prices. Because we're thinking about, we never fly. Unless we go as far as like California or Arizona or something again, or leave the country, it's unlikely that we'll be flying again anytime soon. I mean, we're talking about maybe taking a trip to Colorado, taking another trip to fucking New York. We're going to take the train to New York and we're going to drive to Colorado. Those are probably the only big trips in the next couple of years, other than maybe going to some concerts that are 5, 6, 7 hours away. So I think we're just going to pull the trigger and do, if not first class, do like Delta Comfort class or something. Get all the amenities and just fucking pull the trigger, because we'd literally pay the same amount as we would if we were just flying the cheapest Spirit flight in the fucking summer, since we're flying in January. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man. Never been in a jet. I've been in a plane one time, listeners, and it was a literal propeller plane flown by the oldest man I've ever seen. I'm pretty sure he and the plane were both in one of the world wars, if not both of them. And I flew over the town I live in now, in Indiana. Took a little plane ride up at the airfield. It's like $20. Well, like a 30-minute ride. It's the only time I've ever been in a plane. Yeah, so I'm excited to do it, dude. See what that's like. See what it's like being way up in the sky. Let's move on along. Talk about some movies. Then I'll let y'all get out of here. But I do want to remind you that even if you hated this episode, boy howdy, if you liked this episode, there's more where it came from on Patreon. And if you hated it, all the Patreon episodes are the opposite. They're way better and cooler and fun and funny. And honestly, a little bit erotic. All right, so just keep that in mind. Patreon.com/JordanEdmondson. So far this season, in the last 2 weekends, I've watched 6 scary movies. All right, 6 of them. I'm going to watch probably 3 more this weekend and 3 more every weekend through. It's kind of the habit I've been in. Me and the old lady will get 2 in on Saturday night, 1 in on Sunday night. And so, yeah, I'm going to do that all the way through Halloween. I mean, I watch, like if a new horror movie comes out or they put one on one of the streaming services I haven't seen in a while, I'll watch whatever like that year round, but we're really getting into it. So I'm going to give you a short, spirited review of these six movies I watched. I'll tell you, there's one, two, three, four of them are rewatches for me, but I thoroughly enjoyed each and every one of them. So they're glowing reviews and recommendations for you to go watch them. I'll tell you what streaming service I think they're on. And I'm not going to be looking up the details and doing it all proper, but I'll give you the goods. I'll give you the best of the goods I can give you. First film up, a little jaunt called Only Lovers Left Alive. Now, this bad boy came out in, I want to say, 2012, 2013. Stars Tom Hiddleston, Tilda Swinton. Also has that broad that played in Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland. And Anton Yelchin, the Russian young, Russian-American, whatever he was. He had a Russian name. He was in Star Trek and stuff. Good actor. Green Room, another great movie. Not reviewing Green Room right now, but it's fucking great movie. About a punk rock band that has to deal with some murderous skinheads. You should check that one out, too. But reverting back here, Only Lovers Left Alive is a dark, I won't say avant-garde necessarily, but a dark sort of ambient aesthetic film about a couple vampires, a couple very ancient vampires named Adam and Eve. Though they don't really get into or point to anything super biblical. They're goth as fuck. Adam is into collecting, vintage guitars and making fucking like post-punk goth wave ambient music. And it's really, really good. And then Eve is into being hot and reading books like she can read by touching them. I don't know what it is about Tilda Swinton. She is very androgynous, you know what I mean? And not conventionally attractive, but something about her, dude, really, really does it for me. I've also been told by numerous people, unprompted and without knowing each other or knowing that anyone else had ever called me this, I've been told by them that I looked like Tilda Swinton, which I don't not see it. I wish I looked as good as an androgynous man as she looks as an androgynous woman. But I don't believe I have that much sauce. I've got sauce, but not enough to get lost in. She could get enveloped in the sauce. I'd envelop her in some sauce. Moving on. The movie is about them just kind of like finding their way and literally drifting kind of through this endless life. It's really just kind of like a focus, short period of time about really kind of giving you the vibe of what it would, what the humdrum of living forever would really be like. And then shit gets a little chaotic. There is a sort of a tension in climax of the movie. I won't spoil for you, but I'll say this. It is one of my favorite movies of all time. It does have a great soundtrack, including some, you know, Joy Division and shit like that, that, you know, your boy here enjoys. Old Peepaw really gets down to. Phenomenal movie, just very aesthetically pleasing. Give it a watch. Second movie up is the 2000, I want to say it was 23, I want to say it just came out this year, movie called The Invitation. Now, there was a movie that came out in like 2013 to 2015 somewhere called The Invitation that I'll go ahead and tell you right now was much better. And though I said all of these reviews were going to be glowing, I forgot until just now going to talk about this movie that I actually didn't really enjoy it at all. But the original Invitation's about like a guy who gets invited to some dinner party at like his ex-girlfriend's house, and they're in like some kind of fucking satanic cult, and it gets really fucking creepy and scary, and it's good. The newer one is, it's a vampire movie. This chick, I for this one, because it's literally the only saving grace of this movie, I will have Roscoe look up the name of the lead actress, the heroine of the film, if you will, and tell me that, because really her performance was the only good thing about the movie, in my opinion. And I'm told it is Natalie Emmanuel. Okay, she was fantastic in the movie. She's a good actress. She's obviously, you know, not that that's what it's about, but very attractive, pretty woman. She was good in it, man. But the premise sucks. She does an ancestry test, gets, you know, turns out she has white, rich British family members. So she goes over there for some wedding. Come to find out, there's some, it's Dracula. He's not in the wedding, but it's they're in Dracula's house. And he has to have these, like, three families that are married together to be his servants. And she's the first one to be, that's a woman member of this family for however long. It sucked. All the acting besides hers. Her cousin was played by the guy that plays the King, whatever's, King Ramavir's fucking brother in The Witcher. His name is Hugh Skinner. That's the guy's name. Don't know why I know that. Plays the King's gay brother in The Witcher. He's good in that. I guess he's fine in this, but I just didn't much care for the movie. It was very hammed up. There's a couple ways to play taking yourself seriously in a horror movie. Now, your real scary, a lot of times paranormal type of horror movies, or your just visceral, haunting shit like Hereditary, it can take itself seriously 99% of the time because it's going to come across as serious no matter what. But when you get into slasher territory or cryptids or supernatural creatures, you know, there's, you can either, you risk the point of taking yourself too seriously for the subject matter. And I think this movie did that. It just, the acting wasn't great. Some of the lines weren't great. I'm sorry that I said I enjoyed all six. Didn't enjoy that one. But these next two, by the same director no less, are two classics. The first one of which is the most recent, came out in 2022. I think it was one of the last movies of acclaimed director, absolute icon, horror genius, Wes Craven. Okay, and it's a little movie by the name of Cursed. 2002 stars Christina Ricci and Jesse Eisenberg. So this is late Ricci before she does her temporary hiatus, before she makes her comeback. Like she did these in last year or so with Wednesday and all that shit. And early Jesse Eisenberg. It's the earliest movie I've seen him in that I can think of. I've seen him in some like older shit, obviously. But yeah, 2002, I believe it came out. 2001 or two. But this is one of those movies. It's about werewolves. Okay, now there is the movie Ginger Snaps, which is about werewolves, that it plays the camp. Like, it takes itself seriously and plays the camp. And this movie, very, very similar. Very, very similar. It's treated like a horror movie. There is some camp to it. There's some werewolf scenes, you know, that actually look surprisingly good. You know, it's practical effects. You win. Practical effects, I know we made fun of some of the, like, animatronic and costume shit back in the day, but compared to CGI, so much better. But yeah, this is just a classic jam, you know. Brother and sister get attacked by a goddamn werewolf. Start turning into werewolves. Jesse Eisenberg, he's got this bully in class played by Milo. The guy that's in This Is Us, the really, really handsome fella. Yeah, and he like bullies him, but then he's turning into a werewolf, so he's super strong and he beats him in wrestling. And then the guy comes to his house and tells him that he's gay. And he's sorry for making fun of him and calling him gay. And then he tells him, well, that's okay, dude. I'm a werewolf. By the way, my sister, also a werewolf. And she might be in danger from the boss werewolf. So we got to go save her. And the boss werewolf, or what you were led to believe is the main boss werewolf, although she's like a more of a second boss, is played by Judy Greer. great, the great beloved Judy Greer, and she's great in it. But can't recommend that one enough. Obviously an older movie. I'm sure some of you have seen it. If you haven't, by the way, Only Lovers is on Hulu. Invitation's on Netflix. Cursed is on Netflix. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It's on there. This next one, I can't remember what we watched it on. Can't remember if it was Netflix or Hulu. Also a fucking Wes Craven joint. Scream. The original Scream. Seen it a million times. Obviously, if you know the Wampus Cat from old episodes. Huge Scream head. You know, it holds up. I don't know what to tell you. I don't think I need to explain Scream to you because I feel like everyone's seen this movie. But I think it was one of the first movies to do, not the first movies to do, but it started this wave of playing the camp type of horror movies. I mean, it was a commentary on, the movie itself was a commentary on commenting on horror movies. Like, you know, if you've seen it, they're always talking about, like, equating this serial killer in town to, you know, living in a horror movie. And it's got, you know, Jamie Kennedy in it, and he's the dork that knows everything about horror movies. And, you know, Out of This World performances by Neve Campbell and fucking one of Peepaw's old favorites, Matty Boy Lillard, Matthew Lillard. Kills it in it. He's good at drooling and stuff, dude. He's really good at, like, drooling type, like, acting. Killer at it. He drools in a lot of movies. SLC Punk. Scream, I feel like I don't have to give you a full review. But, go watch it. If you never did watch Scream, if you're somehow, like, a younger listener or something, it holds up. It's better than all the sequels. Better than all of them. Two's good, three's all right, and I haven't seen five yet to this day. But I've heard it's excellent, hated four. But two, three, and five can only be good because one was out in the first place. It's good, it's worth a watch. Another little relation, okay, not the same director, but the same actor, Matthew Lillard, was in another one of these movies that I watched. Little fucking, and it's one of my favorite horror movies of all time, little classic, tight 90-minute, awesome horror movie, 13 Ghosts, dude. It's got Matthew Lillard in it. It's got Shannon Elizabeth from American Pie fame. It's starring Tony fucking Shalhoub, dude. Tony Shalhoub. He was in Monk, dude. He was in fucking Monk. It's a great movie. Dude's wife dies. About a year later, however many months later, he inherits a fucking mansion from some uncle he barely knew. He goes there. It's a big glass box machine. The uncle fucking was a ghost hunter. He captured 13 ghosts. He captured 12 ghosts. He builds this house that's really this machine that's designed by the devil and powered by the dead. And it's going to open up the Eye of Ra. And it's going to open this portal that allows the user to see the past and the future. He's got to trick his nephew into coming there so that he can get his soul because his wife is one of the ghosts. Crazy movie. Like I said, comes in at a tight 90. You don't get that a lot anymore. There's points in it where you're like, how are they going to sum this up? But it's action right off the rip. It's action right off the rip. Really, really good horror movie. I feel like I've probably talked about it like a million times on this show. But that's because it's just a classic banger. Okay, last movie, we're going to start wrapping up here. Don't know if this is technically a horror movie, definitely a distressing movie, a little bit of a dark comedy, reminds me of some horror movies, in the vein of like revenge horror, kind of. Like I said, not necessarily horror, but still, we're going to chuck it in that arena. I think it came out in 2020, by the way. 13 Ghosts, obviously, early 2000s. But I think this movie came out in 2020. It was called Promising Young Woman. Don't know if you guys have seen it yet. Like I said, it's been out for a couple years now, starring Carey Mulligan, fucking Bo Burnham. What's her name? Allison Brie is in it. Adam Brody from The O.C. He's in it for a minute. Laverne Cox from Orange is the New Black. fucking, what's his name, Christopher Mintz, fucking McLovin, Connie Britton's in it, Alfred Molina, a.k.a. Dr. Coctopus, okay, Max Greenfield, I think that's his name, from New Girl. Oh, and her dad, the main character's dad, is played by Mr. fucking Krabs. Clancy fucking Brown, dude. I mean, it's really, it's a star-studded cast, and content warning, because I'm going to tell you what it's about, and it's not pleasing, okay? But there's a promising young woman, okay, who's in medical school, top of her class. Her best friend's in there with her. She's also a fucking ace. She gets essayed, okay? She gets assaulted by a bunch of, like, frat dudes at this medical university at a party one night. Drops out of school because they won't take it seriously and prosecute it or make the guys face any consequences. Gets very depressed, ends up killing herself. So her best friend, played by goddamn Carrie Mulligan, she hatches this plan where she basically, she fakes being really, really drunk at bars all the time, like every weekend, until a guy inevitably comes up and offers to help her get home. Be a nice guy, help her get home. Now, somehow that always ends up being his home. And then he inevitably also tries to bang her while she's, like, basically passing out. This is when she'll come to, and if it was a horror movie, this is when she would come to and murder them. Okay, but she doesn't come to and murder him. She comes to and is like, hey, guess what, dumbass? I'm fucking sober. By the way, I'm not the only girl that does this. There's a bunch of other ones in this town. We never find out if that's true. But, you know, the next one might kill you. All right, I'm just the warning girl, basically. So, you know, Adam Brody's one of these jerk-offs. What the fuck is his name? Sam Richardson is one of these dudes. He's in Detroiters, and I think you should leave and all that stuff. Yeah, man. Eventually, she starts trying to get her life together and not focus on what happened to her friend. By the way, Molly Shannon's in the movie, too. She plays her friend's mom. Like I said, a lot of stars. So she starts dating Bo Burnham, who was a classmate at the medical university and is now a children's doctor. You know, shit's going great till she finds out he might not be that cool. And then she tries to pull an even bigger thing. She tries to do something even bigger and crazier. And it doesn't go great, but it doesn't go unexpectedly bad. I'm not going to ruin the movie for you, but banger, dude. Really, really good movie. It is dark. It's not really graphic or anything like that. It doesn't really show any kind of assault or, like, even blood, I don't think. But yeah, great movie. Those are my Halloween movie recommendations. Oh, final one. It's a little bit older. I can't remember what year it came out, but it reminded me, Promising Young Woman sort of reminded me of this movie. I would say the horror movie version of Promising Young Woman is a little movie by the name of American Mary. It was on Netflix. Don't know if it still is. Similar story. Chick's at medical school. Promising surgeon. She gets invited to a party with all these doctors and surgeons and professors. Gets assaulted there. And she drops out of medical school. Still wants to be a surgeon. So she gets into extreme body modification. So the subplot is her building this business, doing all, giving people horns and splitting their tongues and doing fucking weird amputations and shit. And the whole time she also has kidnapped this professor that assaulted her, has him in a storage locker, and is slowly doing extreme modifications on him, like cutting off his eyelids, sewing his lips together, cutting off all of his limbs one at a time. He's just suspended in these meat hooks being kept alive by machines. It's sick. In a good way. Dope fucking movie. Definitely recommend that one. So go watch all those. Go watch some horror movies. Go to a pumpkin patch. I'm going to one this Saturday with the wife and daughter. Go to a haunted house. I'm doing that in the next couple weeks. Get the Halloween vibe on, man. It's a really good time of year. The weather's feeling great. It's about to start chilling down. The leaves are getting ready to start falling. That's why they call it fall. Okay, y'all have a great rest of your week, If you want to hear from me more than once every month or so, subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/JordanEdmondson. All right, I'm doing an episode a week over there. Check out the videos. I love you guys. I'll see you next time. Boy, yo, yo, yoing. Yo, 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 yo,